Country singer Eric Church is my guest today. He's making a name for himself with hit songs and videos on country radio and CMT. But his songs aren't about the usual country fare, although they are about subjects that touch a lot of people, like waiting on a pregnancy test or waiting to die in the electric chair. I guess not too many people get to experience that. We were taken with Eric's music, and heck, he professes to be a World Cafe listener to WNCW in North Carolina, where he went to Appalachian State College, and that's where he got his start.
Well, I played in a band in college, and we kind of, you know, started touring all the fraternities and the sororities, and we played anywhere people would let us play. Actually, the first time, first night we played, I didn't realize that you had to have more than about 13 minutes of music. I mean, it never occurred to me. I'd only been in a restaurant long enough to see somebody play a few songs, and I was out of there. So first night we had a gig, we knew 12 songs.
And you got them over, didn't you?
We did them. We did 12 songs four times, and we about got killed that night. But I learned a lot. That's kind of in college is kind of where I grew up as far as playing. And after that, you know, I made the move to Nashville. We actually pressed up a little kind of live CD in my college band, and I put three or four original songs on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed when we would go back to play these places, and I would sing the original songs, the crowd knew the song. So that was the first time for me that kind of went, you know what, maybe there's something here and something I should pursue. So I packed up and headed to Nashville.
Now, what happens with a lot of people when they go to Nashville is they look to make it as a writer.
That was all I cared about. And to this day, I mean, if you gave me the choice and said, "Now you can be the biggest star in the world, but you can't sing your own songs, or you can write songs for other people and you're never going to hear yourself on the radio," I'd write songs for other people. Just because that's my passion. That's what I do. I mean, I think that's where the identity comes from. And all the guys that I grew up listening to were all the songwriter guys. So, you know, that to me is the coolest part of the business.
Well, I must say, I don't know that end of the business that well, but to have your debut album be all songs that you wrote seems kind of unusual nowadays.
It is by Nashville standards, but that was the only way I was going to have it. I remember Mike Dungan, the president of Capitol Nashville, offered me a record deal. I was sitting across from him, and I remember he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Why, Mike, I want enough rope to hang myself." And he kind of grinned at me, and he said, "Well, go." And to their credit, they never bothered me. I mean, I got to record the songs I wanted to record and the way I wanted to record them. So I'm pretty it's pretty gratifying now to see it doing pretty well and knowing that it's me. You know, it's I got to do it my way.
Eric Church is our guest, and why don't you do one of these, and we can find out more.
A song called These Boots. Yeah, these boots counted off many a band, playing one night roadhouse stands for tips and empty rooms. These boots, it stood toe to toe with the biggest, baddest Joes, like it had some things to prove. These boots, yeah, these boots, more than once saved my ass, like a time they hid that grass from those cops in Tupelo. And these boots, it danced with the devil and nearly lost that battle to Wild Irish Rose. I wore out more souls than I'd care to count. I've done more stupid things than most would dare to. I kick myself more times than not for the roads they let me down. But the damnedest thing I've ever seen them do is walking out on you. These boots had to see California and an Arizona morning where God paints the sky in these boots. Had to spur that beast in Cheyenne, thought that bull'd make me a real man. I still drag that leg sometimes. I wore out more souls than I'd care to count. I've done more stupid things than most would dare to.
kick myself more times than not for the roads that led me down. But the damnedest thing I've ever seen them do is walking out on you. Now these boots are one step from the door. They walked out of years before. I can almost see them now in these boots. Ought to kick that door aside, stomp out my foolish pride, but they just turn around. Damn. Damn these boots. Yeah, these boots.
It's Eric Church, and that's These Boots, one you'll find on Sinners Like Me, his debut album, and he's joining us today on the Cafe. I really have a kind of a serious question that I just need to know if you can help me on. You said that when you arrived in Nashville, you had a bunch of songs, but they weren't so good. And what did you learn about writing in Nashville that led you to these songs? Because these songs, I don't know if there's a formula to what goes on in Nashville writing, but there is a way that things move. Like that song, you get to the point about her, you know, walking out on, mm-hmm. You just move to it so well. And I'm just curious how that...
I think when I got there, and this happens, I think, to everybody who goes to Nashville. You think when I got there, I thought I had the best songs in the world, just like anybody else. And one thing that I did was I kind of threw myself into the songwriter community. I would go to the little songwriter nights around town, and I would just sit there for hours, and I would watch hit songwriter after hit songwriter, and sometimes not even hit songwriter, just guys up on stage. And I watched and I listened to how they crafted a song and how they arrived at the hook and how they developed an idea. And like that song I just played, I would have been able to have written parts of that before I got to Nashville. Mm-hmm. But I could have never brought it home, which is kind of a, you know, songwriter thing. Harlan Howard said it best, one of the best Nashville songwriters of all time. He said, anybody can write a first verse. Real songwriters write a second verse. And that was the thing that I don't know that I ever knew how to do. And it's just a matter of learning. It's a matter of sitting there. It's a matter of seeing where the bar is. And before you go to Nashville, that bar, you know, I was from a small town, so of course I was the best songwriter in a small town, you know. Yeah. But when I got there, I think I saw where the bar was. And honestly, it was just like another education for me. I sat there every night, and I listened to them, and I watched them, and I watched how they crafted the ideas. And at some point in time during that period of a year or 18 months, I started to do it to myself. So that's how it happened.
You've got a song that's on the radio now that's got a great video and is a great song called Two Pink Lines, which you do a lot of co-writing, and you co-write this with a woman songwriter.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious as to what her input on it was.
Well, it was interesting because this song, you get the perspective of she's married with kids, so you get the female perspective who's married with children,
right?
And you get my perspective, who's a single guy who's lived it. And I think when we decided that it was probably a song that needed to be written, is we realized how it appealed so easily to both of us, you know. And she said, "Well, I've been there," and I looked back at her and said, "Well, I've been there." So you know, it was one of those things that, and I loved it. I mean, I'm a guy who I love writing about stuff that other people are scared to write about. And especially in Nashville, I mean, a lot of times they get real frightened about stuff that they don't think is going to be 3 minutes and happy and up-tempo. And I'm not a guy that conforms to that real well. So it's kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room for me, you know, and I love that. That's my topic. That's the thing that I love to write about. And this is that topic, you know. It's about pregnancy and about a pregnancy test. And I had never heard a song on radio, you know, about a pregnancy test.
Absolutely.
The closest thing was was the Ritalin, had the pill, you know, and that's the closest kind of subject-y matter that had ever been out. So,
well, as you say, a lot of people have been through this, so you put it into a song.
Yeah. Me do it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. She's pacing back and forth on her front porch. I pulled up slinging gravel in my daddy's Ford. She cried all the way to Johnson's store. I kept the motor running and parked by the door. Yeah, I was foolish and wild. She was classic and regal. We were fresh out of school, boy, barely legal. We were young and on fire and just couldn't wait. 6 weeks in, she was 3 weeks late. One means none, and we're home free. Two means three, and a diamond ring. Yeah, wonder what fate is gonna decide. We're to sit around waiting on two pink lines. Sit around waiting on two pink lines. Yeah, daddy's gonna kill me, and that's a fact. Maybe we'll just leave town and never come back. Or I could stand there and tell him, face him like a man. Who am I kidding? He'll never understand. Yeah, that second hand just keeps slowing down. I swear it stopped twice the last time around. Yeah, we'll know the truth in 3 minutes' time. We're to sit around waiting on two pink lines. Sit around waiting on two pink lines. The hot summer nights whispering her name under a blanket by the river bank. Hearts beating fast, we never thought twice. And she pulled me close, and I held on tight. Yeah. When the moment of truth finally comes, she gives me a look. And then comes undone. She says, looks like we're lucky. Someone's smiling down. She grabs her coat and says, see you around. Yeah, these days the rabbit doesn't die. You just sit around waiting on two pink lines. Praying that fate is on your side. I sit around waiting on two pink lines. I sit around waiting on two pink lines.
Eric Church, and yeah, that is Two Pink Lines, and that's from the new one, Sinners Like Me, the one, the debut album. You know what makes that song for me, and I think probably for a lot of people, is you've got this unbelievable turning point in people's lives, and how casual she is about blowing off the whole thing. Yeah. It's great.
Well, did you talk about that? We did. We tried to keep it kind of light. I mean, it's really about. The main focus of the song, though, it's about pregnancy. It's about whether you're young or you're old or you're married or unmarried. At some point in time, you've had those 3 minutes or you've had that moment when your life may or may not change here. And it's about the heaviness of the situation and about the drama that's in that 3 minutes.
Absolutely.
So regardless of whether she leaves or not, we just tried to say – we thought the leaving was kind of a humorous twist to it, you know, because I certainly had that happen to myself.
There you go. Well, yeah, the 3 minutes, it actually takes 3 minutes and 27 seconds, but you got to set it up.
You got to love songs that are in real time. That's great.
Absolutely. Eric Church is with us today, and there's a song on here that is, we talk about narrative and how you know, you put a second verse on top of a great first verse. It's a song you wrote entirely yourself that does this so well, and it's called Lightning. And how did you come up with the idea for this one?
I was watching a movie called The Green Mile one night. Which is probably, Stephen King wrote it, and it's probably one of, if not my favorite movies of all time. And it's just, I was sitting there, and there's actually a line in the movie where the lead actor says, you know, it's been, I think he said 80-some years since I let John Coffey ride the lightning. And I just thought it was an interesting way to talk about the electric chair. And I was sitting by myself, and I actually had my guitar in my hand. And it just started this little riff thing, you know, when it happened. And And I think it was just, all of a sudden, it was just one of those things where, songwriters say every now and then, it's not really you. You're just kind of hanging on to it as it writes itself. And it was definitely one of those moments for me. And I will say this now and forever, that it's probably the song that's the reason I got my publishing deal. It's the reason I got my record deal. And it's probably the reason that I'm here now, because it's just one of those. And I like it because I wrote it by myself. And if people like it, it's me. And if they don't, it's all my fault. So,
well, it's interesting because it's it certainly is none of those things up tempo, happy.
No, yeah. And that's what I mean. I think the great thing about the guys that I grew up listening to, the singer songwriters, the Christoffersons and the John Prines and guys like that. I mean, it was they you could tell they wore their heart on their sleeve. And they were very vulnerable, and I think you got to show that vulnerability. And this is definitely one of those songs that shows how vulnerable songwriting can be.
Cool. This is Lightning.
These four walls of Farnworth are closing in on. My final meal is over, and they're gonna set me free. I can feel the fires burn as the devil guards my door. I hit my knees in search of Jesus on a cold jailhouse floor. Lord, now I'm singing, get me out of here. I see the preacher's eyes as my daughter cries when they strap me in this chair. Lord, I hope she forgives me for leaving her this way. Yeah, tonight I'll ride the lightning to my final judgment day. Every life owes a debt. That's what my Bible says. Me, I owe mine to this state for shooting that boy to death. A liquor store attendant, he was reaching for his gun. Now his mama sits there smiling as the boss yells, roll on. Lord, now I'm singing, get me out of here. I see the preacher's eyes as my daughter cries when they strap me in this chair. Lord, I hope she forgives me for leaving her this way. Yeah, tonight I'll ride the lightning to my final resting place. A hungry blue-eyed baby crying made me rob that store. And as that boy lay there dying, I dropped my pistol on. Yeah, I'd take it all back, but there's nothing I can do. They've covered my face, and the order's gone through. As the boss yells, roll on to. And now I'm flying up and out of here. I close my eyes and slowly rise, let my body leave this chair. Lord, I hope you forgive me for living my life this way. Yet tonight I'll ride the lightning to my final judgment day. These four walls of Farnworth are closing in on.
Eric Church, that's lightning. Can you put that one across in a club show?
Depends. I try to only pick special crowds to play that one. It's one of those songs I don't like to play every night. But if the crowd's really good and they're a listening crowd, I will pull it out. So it's kind of my reward for the really good crowds out there.
Definitely. Well, if you dig deep into the booklet for Eric's album, you'll see it says Jack Daniels is a registered trademark of Jack Daniels Properties. And I think one of the reasons for that is there's an easily, even though you can't read the label, recognizable Jack Daniels bottle on the cover. Yeah. But the other reason is because of the title track. You got Jack Daniels is in there too.
It is. I had I love Jack Daniels, and we spent a lot of nights together growing up. Been on Earth 29 years, so we spent a lot of time together. But the first song, actually the title track of the record called Sinners Like Me,
right,
is probably the most autobiographical song on the record. I mean, I had my first beer when I was 15 years old, and it was in my grandpa's refrigerator, and it was a Schlitz.
Ooh, exactly.
Ooh is the response I had at the time. And I remember my grandpa, he had his little refrigerator that he kept it in, and he kind of went around the corner, and I thought, you know, it's been 15 years since I've had a beer. It's probably time to try one. So I opened the fridge and I popped the top, and I wanted to be manly about it, so I just turned it up and down as much as I could. And I turned three or four shades of the darkest green you could turn. And he came around the corner as I was doing this. And I remember he never got mad at me. He just kind of looked at me, had this big grin on his face. And that was when I knew that at some point in time, he'd probably been there before. So that's kind of where the title track came from.
This is Sinners Like Me.
I was 15 when my daddy's old man caught me halfway through my first beer. He laughed so hard, my face turned green. He said, "You come from a long line of sinners like me." Now, me and my brother go to see him sometimes, but he don't have much to say anymore. So we sit on his headstone with a fifth of Jack D. Here's to a long line of sinners like me. La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee. I come from a long line of sinners like me. Now, Mama had a soft spot for a hell-raising boy, so she had two more just like. It takes an angel to raise a family. It comes from a long line of sinners like me. Well, now maybe, who knows, one day I'll settle down and give my dad a grandson of his own. And when the doctor smacks him, he'll probably take a swing, 'cause he'll come from a long line of sinners like me. La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-da-di-dee. I come from a long line of sinners like me. On the day that I die, know where I'm gonna go. Me and Jesus got that part worked out. I wait at those gates till his face I see. Stand in a long line, sinners like me. Yeah, I stand in a long line, a sinner like me. La di da di da, la di da da di dee. I come from a long line of sinners like me. La di da di da, la di da da dee dee. Here's to a long line of sinners like me. Yeah, I come from sinners like me.
And there you go. That's the title track of Eric's album, Sinners Like Me. Thank you so much for...
No, thank you for having me.
Real treat. Eric Church, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Once again, thanks to Eric Church for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed that. His album is called Sinners Like Me.